Blog Talk Radio.
I want to welcome everyone tuning in tonight to Blog Talk Radio to Answers for the Paranormal for Friday evening, March the 30th, 2012. We are Answers for the Paranormal. My name is Bill Posey. I'm your host for tonight. And on the line with me is my co-host, Joe Marodi. How's it going tonight, Joe?
It's going well, Bill. The weather is conducive to a good show. As I'm not in my house, as our listeners probably know, my office is over at the Wawa. So the weather, it's just pretty much getting dark now, but it's not too cold out, and all is a go.
Yeah, it is. It's been a beautiful day here on the East Coast of the United States. We've had incredible weather for our winter and early spring, and we've really just enjoyed the sunlight, and the days are getting longer, and soon we'll be in the summer, and so the time is just flying by, Joe. But you know, I never thought we would get to this point tonight to bring Ghost Story Part 6 together, because for any of our listeners who have been listening in on this series, we were planning on bringing about this final show on March the 2nd. But a number of things have transpired in the last few weeks that has actually kept us from bringing this show on. So we're here tonight, Joe, and mm-hmm. Feels really good to finally get this thing going.
It really does, Bill, and you're right. What happens is, if you are doing any work for the Lord, if you are involved in any sort of a ministry, you're going to face spiritual opposition. There's really no two ways about that. Sometimes it comes in waves, and we know that the motivation for the enemy is to stop the advance of the gospel. Paul made this clear in 2 Thessalonians, when he mentioned that Satan had hindered him coming to the Thessalonians. So that's what we have really encountered over the last month. As you said, four times we've had to postpone the airing of what this will be, Part 6, the last in our series on Ghost Story. And I would just like to mention some of the things that we've endured in the last month. We've had both of our daughters break wrists. One of my daughters, it happened to her in Costa Rica. You have had your mother hospitalized just recently, rushed to the hospital. Mm-hmm. You came home recently, and your couch cushions had been destroyed by your dogs. Yeah. That was really something for those listening. Bill had sent me a text message with a picture, and I really didn't know what I was looking at. All I saw was feathers, or you know, whatever they stuffed cushions with and piled a couple feet high in Bill's living room, and it was really a staggering picture. And then one of the most saddened moments of our recent lives. My wife's mother passed away a couple weeks ago, so that was a very trying time, and still is. And not a couple days after that, my wife's knee locked up on her. And for those of you who may have had this happen to you, she had had this happen to her before, but she was always able to almost immediately unlock it just by straightening it out. This time, she was in dire pain outside in our backyard. We were doing yard work, and I had to help her to her feet, which was a chore. It wasn't easy when you have someone in pain, and then had to slowly walk her inside. And she was in such pain, and I saw she started to get pale, and she was going to pass out. And I had to stop, sit her back down, and later I said, "Do you remember coming inside?" She didn't even remember coming inside. So
wow.
She did. Yeah, she did pass out for, I don't know, a minute, but luckily I got her inside. So then as a result of that, she couldn't work. Finally, she did go in about a week later, and then she was sent home. They didn't allow her to work because of her condition, and now she's going to be on short-term disability, which, as our listeners may know, is only about 66% of your income.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to pay full insurance benefits. You don't have to pay, you know, it's not like you pay 66% of your insurance payments. No, it's 100% of that. So, you know, we pretty much live week to week financially, and this has been a pretty severe blow to us. Also, you have, I guess it was three weeks ago, maybe, that you had to go retrieve your kids down at Methodist Hospital in Philadelphia.
Right.
Physical sickness we've endured. Your wife had bronchitis, and my wife had a persistent cough. I mean, a cough where I don't know how she didn't pass out. For a couple weeks, she was passing. She was coughing consistently. We also had our cat. All of a sudden, an affliction that the veterinarian diagnosed as kidney failure, healthy all the way up until like about a month ago, and slowly deteriorated. And just strange circumstances, just a few nights ago, the cat actually passed. And so that was a very trying time, for especially for my daughter, whose cat she belongs to. And then we also had the death of someone close to our family, boyfriend of my daughter's cousin. Those are some serious things. And you know, if you're listening, you might think, well, those things happen. How can you attribute it to what you guys are doing? The reality is that these things happened in such a short period of time and were so intense.
Right.
That as we've gone along in this ministry, we've been able to see how the devil schemes and how he works to stop what we're doing. In the past, he's cut me off in the middle of one of the shows that we did last year. All sorts of ways that he's attempted to stop not only tonight's show, but a future series that we're going to do that we'll talk about towards the end of the show. So those are some of the things that we've endured in the last, and you know, our family has endured in the last 4 weeks. But here we are now, and we are ready to get on with the last part of the series.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, Joe, as you point out, that a lot of these things that we had experienced, they all seem to come at a time where we were either preparing, stuff to bring out for the show, or actually the show itself coming on. And, it is kind of gotten to the point where, we look for the, as you called them, the schemes of the enemy that that war and work against us. And we're just thankful that God is faithful and that his will be done. And that we're here tonight and able to talk to everyone who's listening or will be listening in the future. So, we're just thankful for that.
Amen.
Well, for any new listeners that we may have tonight, our ministry is an internet-based ministry. We have a website that is called Answers for the Paranormal. Our address is www.answersfortheparanormal.org. And we come at the paranormal phenomenon from a Christian perspective, and one that's based on God's word and on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, there's a lot of other paranormal types of websites that you can find out there, and ours is distinctively different in that we come at this from a perspective that you won't find very often or on too many of the sites that are easily accessed on the web. So, Joe, why don't you just take a couple minutes and just let listeners know what they can find when they go to our site.
Yes, we've added a couple of things recently, which I'm happy about. We've added a comment for our blog section where you can comment on the blogs that we have on our website. We have the guestbook sign-in page where you can give comments on the whole website, and we really encourage that because we really want feedback. And we want feedback, pro or con. And we've actually made some contact as a result of the guestbook page. We have a page that gives a statement of our beliefs, our Christian beliefs, what we hold to as being the absolute truth of God's word. We have a page for where you can send us an email, either my email address or Bill's email address. We also have a media page that you can access all of our all the shows that we've done in the past. You can access the podcasts of those shows. What else do we have? We have a page of bios of Bill and myself. Am I forgetting anything, Bill?
No, I think you pretty much covered it, Joe.
That's not bad for a guy with an awful memory. And I mean that. So.
Yeah, well, you did pretty good. Well, as Joe mentioned, this is our sixth and final show in this series that we've been doing. We've called it Ghost Story, and as we've talked in the last couple nights as we've been preparing for tonight's show, we want to just tie everything together and bring all the shows together tonight into one segment, and we're just going to look back on what we did in the other shows, and then we'll bring a few new things out tonight. Mm-hmm. And one of the good things about having a show like this is that we're able to take a topic such as ghosts and open it up for discussion, and that's really what we desire to do tonight in this show is to have our listeners call in and just talk to us about either some of the things that they've experienced or some of the things that we've said. And we want to get into dialogue with you. So If you want to call in tonight, the number to do that is 877-455-6692. It's toll free. So call in with your questions or your comments. 877-455-6692. Now, what we wanted to start out with tonight, in the first four shows in this series, we did a segment called what we call as our icebreaker questions, where Joe and I will pick out a question for each other, and we won't give the other the opportunity to prepare. So as the questions are asked, we're answering them right off the top of our head, and it kind of opens it up to some good discussion. So that's what we're going to start with tonight, is our icebreaker segment. So Joe, you want to go first, or you want me to
sure.
ask you? Okay.
Yeah, I'll ask you first. I think I have, you know, you might think that this is our last show. We've done five shows already. You really got a humdinger for your last question, for your last icebreaker question. But I think I have a pretty easy one for you.
Okay.
Bill, what do you think motivates people to go on ghost hunts? What do you think motivates people to go on ghost hunts?
Wow, that's a really good question. Yeah. I think that for most people, you know, we're talking about a subject here of intrigue. And, you know, I don't think that there's too many people that if you walked up to them in the street and asked them the question, well, you know, what do you think about ghosts? I don't think there'd be anybody that would say to that that wouldn't have an answer of some type either. Well, you know, I never really thought about it, or I've thought a lot about that. And you know, it's the kind of subject where people are just fascinated by the idea of some type of spirit that would appear to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the other thing is, and we've brought this out a lot in the other shows that we've done, is, you know, just the way the culture is today.
Yeah.
And you're going to talk about that a little later, about
right.
the number of cable TV shows dedicated
oh, yeah.
to the paranormal. And, you know, the access to these shows – I mean, you grab the clicker and start going through, and
mm-hmm.
you'll find five, six, seven shows in prime
oh,
time.
Oh, easy, yeah.
You know, that are dedicated to this. So I think that that lends to people's fascination as
sure.
well. And, you know, I don't – we even had somebody comment on our page about, you know, hey, I would love to – go to a haunted house. Well, why?
Right.
Why would you
right.
love to do that? Why
mm-hmm.
would you want to immerse yourself into something that you don't know anything about? So,
right, right.
You know, I don't think that there's one direct answer, but there's just a lot behind what we see going on in our culture today.
Yeah, yeah. I think that you that's a couple of really solid answers, and I think the second part of your answer, as far as the paranormal programming that is so prevalent, I think that's a really, really big factor as to why people would go on. You know, they don't necessarily have to call themselves a paranormal investigator. All they got to do is sit down in front of one of these shows, and they see some paranormal investigative group going into a home, and they see things happening that are, you know, that they're fascinating. You can't really put a label on something that is supernatural. I mean, how do you get your mind around that? And it prompts the individual, say, you know, pick up the phone, call their friend. You know what? Let's see what we can do. Maybe we can find a place to investigate. Now, they don't necessarily have to call themselves paranormal investigators, but
right.
This culture of the supernatural today prompts and feeds that curiosity that's always been there, and that fascination that's always been there. for the what they would call the unknown. So, yeah, I think that your answers were dead on point.
Not too bad for off the cuff.
That's not bad at all.
All right, here's one. Here's your question, Joe.
Okay.
Is there anything that you learned in preparing all these shows that we've done that you might not have known prior to starting this series on ghosts?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say the lack of understanding as to what people are really dealing with. We've come across, so as you mentioned earlier, there are a million websites of paranormal investigators, and none of them have the truth unless you're coming at it from a Christian perspective. So I guess I would have thought in starting out that there would be more people who would really understand what they're dealing with. And I guess another thing would be that Christians really don't seem to be involved in bringing the answers to people. Now, I don't want to indict the church, but from my perspective, where I am and what I've witnessed, the church is not involved in giving people good, solid biblical answers as to what they're dealing with. There may be some ministries out there that we're not aware of, but I think that what we're doing is very unique, and I hope that, and I pray that God raises up some more ministries like this, because the thirst for spiritual things is out there, and people are being misled all the time in regards to this. And I guess maybe one other thing, I guess the enormity, and we'll talk about it a little bit later. We talked a little bit about what happens when people watch these ghost hunting shows. Well, what I couldn't believe is when I investigated the tools that are available that these paranormal investigators used, you know, like K2 meters and thermal imaging cameras and digital voice recorders and all sorts of other electronic equipment. The amount of material that's on the internet where people can go and purchase these things, that's another thing that's feeding this hysteria. So I would have never guessed that it was an industry. Ghost hunting equipment is an industry. And again, as I said, I'll bring up some numbers a little bit later.
Yeah. You know, just to comment a minute there for something you brought up. I think you used a great word, and that word was thirst.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It really is evident that our culture today is thirsting for spiritual things.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing is that you can find any number of these quote-unquote spiritual things, but how do you know when you've found the truth behind
mm-hmm.
the spiritual? You know, I mean,
yeah.
You have any number of what we call New Age type of philosophies today.
Sure.
You know, that'll give you answers to any number of things. And of course, you have, you know, the psychics, the clairvoyance, and, you know, tarot card readers.
Right.
You know, any number of ways to tap into the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what are you going to find there? Are you going to find truth? Or, as we've been bringing out, most likely what you're going to find there is deception.
Oh yeah. That's the main reason that we decided to do a series on ghosts. And yeah, there's a thirst that's undeniable. It's evidenced by all of the shows that are on TV. I mean, the producers of these television shows, Bill, are not in it for information to give paranormal investigators a forum to demonstrate what they do. Producers of these programs, and I'll give a list of them shortly, they're in it to make money. And the only way that they make money is if there's advertisers. And the only way that there's advertisers is if the shows get ratings.
Right.
So these shows are bringing, some of these shows have been on for a long time. Some of them come and go, but they're making money. And the only way that they can is that there's a thirst for the spiritual, for the unknown. It's always intrigued people. But in the last decade or so, it has really spiked the interest in these things.
Yeah, it really has. We're going to segue into one of the things that we did at the beginning of this series was to look at some words that were synonymous with the word ghost.
Right.
So we're going to talk about a couple of them now, and just want to give out the numbers again for you to call in. This is toll-free, 877-455-6692. And call in and with your question or comment, and we'd be happy to speak with you.
Right.
All right, Joe. Words synonymous with ghost. Now, some of the ones that we did, such as we had fetch and doppelganger and haunted,
right,
and ghoul.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you wanted to do one tonight that we hadn't done before, so why don't you go first?
Okay, sure. Yeah, a couple other ones just to round it out. Mm-hmm. Specter, semblance, entity, apparition, demon. I think that was the extent of them. I also did clairvoyant, but that wouldn't really be synonymous with ghost. The one that I would like to, the new word that I would like to bring up tonight is a word, revenant, R-E-V-E-N-A-N-T. It's an English word, which we get from the French word, from the present participle. It's the French word, it's the present participle of the French word revenir, which means to return. And very simply, revenant means one that returns after death or a long absence. It was interesting because I happened to see this word used for the first time on television, one of the shows I was watching, and Bill and I had been talking about this the other night. I had mentioned to him that there seems to be a fascination with zombies these days, and you know, we've been immersed in this ghost series and haven't really paid attention too much else as far as the paranormal or the occult. But it seems that a recent look at programming shows that there are a number of shows about zombies, and they were just giving the cultural understanding from different cultures, different countries, of what the equivalent of the American zombie would be. And the word revenant was kind of synonymous with zombie in England. So that's what they would look at as revenant. And it fits the description that I gave, one that returns after death or a long absence.
Hmm. All right. One of the other words that we did in the very beginning, either in our first or second show, was the word phantom. And you hear this word associated with ghosts quite often. And this is from Wikipedia, the online encyclopedia. And the definition for phantom is, first of all, ghost, in traditional belief, a physical manifestation of the soul or the spirit of a deceased person. Second definition, any fictional or metaphysical species or individual beings that are invisible and or appear incorporeal or like illusions, not necessarily having to be from the deceased. And then the final third definition is illusion, a distortion of the senses. And the first time that we did this, we wanted to focus in on that that part of an illusion or distortion of the senses. Mm-hmm. And found some interesting stuff, Joe, as I further got into the investigation of this word having to do with an illusion. And if you remember back when we were talking about this word in a prior show, I brought up the 23rd Psalm, where the psalmist talks about the valley of the shadow of death. And the idea there in the Hebrew of the shadow of death, one of the definitions is an illusion or something that seems to be what it is not.
Hmm.
And we were talking about how death itself is an illusion. It's not what it appears to be as far as the end of something. You know, most people have the idea that when you die, that's it. You know, your physical being ceases to exist, and then what is there after that? Well, we understand from a biblical perspective that death in and of itself is really a beginning and not an ending. And
yes.
I found on the internet a couple of explanations into this idea of the shadow of death. And this was one that was written by a Jewish person. And he goes on to talk about this idea of the shadow of death and the number of occurrences there are of this Hebrew word in the Old Testament. And he lists the occurrences in the Bible. Most of are from the book of Job. And there are a couple in Psalms, of course, Psalm 23 being one.
Mm-hmm.
And once in the book of Isaiah, twice in the book of Jeremiah, and once in the book of Amos. And interestingly, in the occurrence in the book of Isaiah, it's in the in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, it talks about, Isaiah is talking about, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, that they dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Upon them hath the light shed. And also, this is the passage of scripture that that Jesus read when he went into the synagogue in Nazareth, and he took a scroll down and began to read from it. And this was the Isaiah passage that he was reading from. And as he got to this part here in Isaiah, talking about the light that has appeared, he told the listeners there in the synagogue that before you this day, this this passage has been fulfilled.
Yes.
And it was at that point that They drove Jesus out of the synagogue and actually wanted to kill him because he was claiming to be God in the fulfilling of that.
Yes.
Another interesting occurrence here in this word, the shadow of death, and it's in the idea of the shadow itself, the shadow being an illusion. And this man goes on to say in here that those who enter that shadow of death or walk through that shadow of death, it's at the point of walking through it that they find a terrifying place. And what David had in mind when he was writing the psalm is that apparently in Jerusalem there was this this place that sheep had to be taken to, where they would go around mountain cliffs and from the high place into the valleys, looking for places to graze. And what would happen was there you would have robbers and thieves that would hide in the rocks. And as the sheep were led down in there, they would then go ahead and go after the shepherd and try and take the flock and rob and pillage whatever they could. And so it was known as a terrifying place. And elsewhere in Scripture, we also have this idea of bringing people through this valley of the shadow of death, where we have the story of the Good Samaritan who attends to a person who is beaten up by the thieves and the robbers. So this is what David had in mind when he was writing the psalm, this place of terror, of a place that was not only terrifying, but could end your life.
Right. Right.
And then there was something else I found here that it was written by someone who said that this idea of the shadow of death in translating this, many have departed somewhat, some Bible translations, from calling it the valley of the shadow of death into referring to it just as darkness or as a dark valley. And and it's kind of lost some of its meaning by doing that.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say in this that the element of death is essential to the meaning of that Hebrew word there, where we get the compound word shadow of death.
Right.
And then the last thing I found on this, and this was kind of interesting, and this is going to go into another series that we're planning on looking at in the future. And this was written in a journal called the Christian Research Institute. And it was written in 2003. And here was the synopsis of the writer of the article. He said that New Age and occult spirituality have heavily influenced near-death experience, or NDE, research.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And in his book called Light and Death, Michael Sabum critically examines the relationship of spiritual beliefs, Christianity in particular, with near-death experience. And his research yields several conclusions. First of all, that spiritual beliefs appear to affect the interpretation, but not the content of an NDE. And secondly, while psychic interest increases following an NDE, the relationship between the psychic experience and the NDE itself is otherwise unclear. And finally, a deepening of intrinsic faith consistently follows an NDE, but the direction that this deepened spirituality takes appears to be influenced by factors other than the NDE itself. And his book, Light and Death, has received harsh criticism within the field of NDE study for exposing the wayward spirituality of many of its leaders and for evaluating NDE in light of biblical Christianity.
Yeah, yeah.
Because right. Sabum argues that NDE is neither an overt glimpse of life after death, nor is it a physical manifestation of the dying brain, but rather it is a spiritual experience that occurs during the process of dying. He says that a face-to-face meeting with God during an NDE is unlikely according to Scripture.
Yes.
But actually, and listen to this, a general revelation of God that is possible. And he says that encounters with spirit beings or with quote-unquote Jesus are most likely from angelic encounters. And he says that considering both scientific and biblical evidence and remembering that we only see in a mirror dimly, as 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, that we can best understand NDEs as the soul entering the quote-unquote shadow of death. And so what, you know, what can we take out of all this? Well, what we can take is that, you know, a word synopsis with the word ghost, such as phantom, being an illusion, and we see this idea introduced in Scripture, where an appearance by something or someone may not be as it seems. It's an illusion. It's illusionary in its existence, in that what is perceived to be a spirit, and you know, most people would have the understanding that this spirit is a disembodied soul of someone
who
has departed, right, of a human being, is not actually what they are experiencing, but is illusionary in that it is something that it is not. And I think what we've been able to do in establishing these meanings of these words is showing that this idea of a ghost or of a disembodied spirit is actually an illusion. What it really is an appearance of something far more sinister and something that is really looking for the destruction of the person that they are appearing to.
Yes, and I certainly hope that in listening to what's now six parts of Ghost Story that our listeners have been able to understand what the deception really is and why the deception is taking place and what the answer to that deception is. It's the whole reason that we've undertaken this series. And to quickly comment on the near-death experience subject that you brought up, that's a series that we're going to do at some point in the future. The danger that I see in near-death experiences very quickly is that what I've witnessed in watching a show called I Survived Beyond and Back. That's my extent of understanding of what people go through in near-death experience, what are called near-death experiences. And what I've come away with after seeing, oh, I would say 50 case studies of people who have had these NDEs, is that they no longer fear death. And the reason that they no longer fear death is because what they've experienced during this NDE is something so wonderful and so incredibly beautiful and desirable that death really holds no fear for them. And for the believer, we have that, we should have that non-fear of death, of physical death, because as you said earlier, it is a beginning of an eternity spent with our Savior in paradise. So the overall message of the Bible as far as death is that it is an illusion, it is a phantom, and it is not to be feared, because the scriptures say, O grave, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Because of Jesus Christ, we don't have to fear that. Now, people mm-hmm. having these NDEs are not fearing death for the wrong reason. They're not. I've never once heard anyone in any of these case studies say, well, since I had that NDE, some of them were harrowing. Some of them, people think that they actually gone through hell. None of them come back and say, I've given my life to Jesus Christ. He's my Savior, my Lord, and I'm not fearing death because I've placed my faith in Him.
Mm.
What they're saying is that there's no reason to fear death because it's transition. And it's the message that paranormal investigators are bringing to the people that they counsel. So there is extreme danger in this whole field of paranormal and all of the occult messages that are perpetrated over and over and over again in every type of media outlet.
Yeah, no question about it. And actually, Joe, that last statement by you is a great segue into what we want to talk about that next, and that is the ubiquitous nature of all things paranormal. So
yeah, you
go ahead.
You can't avoid it. You know, one of the things that I regret, Bill, is that we didn't have an opportunity. What we had planned on doing as part of the series was going to a local mall and interviewing people, a quick questionnaire, stopping people with three questions. Do you believe in ghosts? What are they? And why do you believe what you believe? We wanted to do that quick survey because in the culture that's saturated with things about ghosts and things about the paranormal in general, I'm sure that we wouldn't have had anyone who would not have had some sort of an opinion being exposed to all these things. So that's something down the road that I would still like to do, and we can maybe on a future show we can give the results of that type of a survey. But yeah, you can't get away from, if you are watching television at all, you have cable, you have internet, you can't say that, well, it's not really paid much attention to. It is. This culture is saturated with all things paranormal because, in general, people have an insatiable lust for these sorts of things, as we've been bringing out. Now, in my research, what I've discovered is that since 1949, now, we've been focusing on a lot of the things that have been happening in the paranormal world in the last 10 years or so, and even more recently, maybe in the last 5 years. But as we've stated before, people have always had a fascination with the unknown, with death, what happens after death. Are there such things as ghosts? Are there UFOs? Are there aliens? People have always been fascinated by these things. And in 1949, the first program came out which dealt with, and I don't know if the word was around then, the word paranormal, but I guess they would use the word supernatural or the unknown. In 1949, Ripley's Believe It or Not was kicked off. That was the first year, and that show is still on. Now, since then, since 1949, there have been 140 shows that have, at least in part, the unknown or the supernatural as within the program. if not totally dedicated the whole program to it. 140.
That's incredible.
Since 1949, and we don't have the time. However, I do have the list, and I was not familiar with many of these. I'll just name a couple.
Yeah.
Truth or Scare. Scared on Staten Island. Is It Real? Haunted Lighthouses of America. I'm Famous and Frightened. Weird U.S. Dead Famous. Scariest Places on Earth. Truth or Scare. Critical Eye. I could go on and on and on. But what I want to do now is I want to give a list of paranormal television programs that are currently running or have run recently. Some of them go away for a while and then come back. So here's the list of what, if you turned on tonight, I guarantee you will see one of these programs. If not, you'll see more than one. You'll see probably five of these programs. And
right.
Any other time during the week, you probably will be able to see half of these. So here it goes. Currently running or recently run. Ghostly Encounters, Ghost Hunters, Ghost Hunters International, Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters Academy, Paranormal State, and then there is another spinoff of Paranormal State that's currently running, Destination Truth, Fact or Fake, Paranormal Files, Most Haunted, My Ghost Story, The Haunted, Celebrity Ghost Stories, A Haunting, Monster Quest, Haunted History, UFO Hunters, UFO Files, UFOs Over Earth, Unexplained Mysteries, Unsolved Mysteries, Paranormal Cops, Psychic Kids, The Search for Bigfoot, I Survived Beyond and Back, Haunted Collector, Legend Quest, Paranormal Challenge, Ghost Stories, Ghost Lab, Paranormal Witness, Long Island Medium, The Dead Files, Ancient Aliens. That's 32, Bill. 32. And someone's going to argue that this culture is not fascinated with the occult and with the unknown.
I don't know how they could make that argument.
No.
You've laid it out pretty well there that it's something that people want to watch, or else they wouldn't be on TV.
That's right. That's right. Now, moving on a little bit here, what I did is I sampled. I wanted to get a sampling of, in general, the paranormal worldwide. So I did a Bing search, and all I did was I entered paranormal in and then fill in the blank for the country. I'll give you the results. Now, as we've talked about, Bill, they list results when you Google or you Bing or you use some other search engine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not computer literate enough to know what these results are, but here it goes. Here is the number of results when I did a Bing search for paranormal worldwide, paranormal in Italy, a Bing search, over 6 million. France, over 7 million, just under 8 million. In Germany, 6.5 million. Spain, over 5 million. Russia, just under 4 million. Canada, just under 9 million. China, just under 9 million. Australia, 4.5 million. In the United States, 13,700,000. In Saudi Arabia, 512,000. In Iran, over 3 million. In India, 6.5 million. Pakistan, over 2 million. Israel, just under 4 million. And we are in the tri-state area of the, on the east coast of the United States, where the tri-state area would be Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey. So I wanted to get a sampling. So I Googled, this is Bing. Paranormal Bing search of Pennsylvania, over 7.5 million results. Delaware had over 1 million.
Incredible.
And New Jersey had just under 7 million. Now, a Google, there's some discrepancies if you do a Bing search or a Google search, but do you want me to run down the paranormal worldwide for Google, a Google search?
Oh, no, you can continue. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Italy, just under 9 million. France, over 14 million. Germany, 10.5 million. Spain, just under 8 million. Russia, 5.5 million. Canada, 12 million. China, 12.5 million. Australia, 13.5 million. United States, 25,800,000. Saudi Arabia, over 2 million. Iran, 4.5 million. India, 12 million. Pakistan, over 4 million. Israel, over 7 million. Pennsylvania, over 10 million. Delaware, over 1 million. New Jersey, 3.5 million. Now, that's the paranormal worldwide. So, and I just did, what I wanted to do is I wanted to get the industrialized nations, and I also wanted to get those that were either identified predominantly as Catholic or Christian, Muslim nations, predominantly Muslim nations, and also nations that would have Hinduism as their national religion, and also Judaism from Israel. So that tells me that people are interested in the paranormal. You also, do you have something also to mention about this, Bill? Something about the Philippine ghost?
Yeah. Just let me say, Joe, that when you showed me that list last night,
yeah,
my jaw dropped at the enormity of the number of searches that there are out there regarding paranormal. It left me speechless as to that word again, thirst, for this. And I think that really does bear it out.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we found, as we've looked at some of the statistics of people that have come to our site, and on our webpage, www.answersfortheparanormal.org, on our contact page where Joe and I have our email addresses listed, we also have our blogspot.com page listed. And I was showing Joe last night that as you go to the statistics page of our blog, we get an idea of where people are contacting us from and what they're looking for. And one of the biggest hits has been this image of the Philippine ghost. And in an earlier blog that I had written there, I had posted the picture of this Philippine ghost that apparently has shown up with some people. So as I said to Joe, I don't know what's going on in the Philippines, but apparently something with this appearance of something supernatural is going on in the Philippines, because we've seen a number of hits from that tiny island. And, you know, when you get up around 700, you know, just looking at an image and finding out what it's all about, it really is staggering to understand just how this is a worldwide phenomenon. You know, 25 million in the United States, I'm not surprised at all. But to say that there's 4 million in Saudi Arabia,
that's right, yeah.
That, to me, that just blows me away.
It is stunning. It is stunning. Yeah, it crosses all sections of religious faith and secularism. It touches everyone. Everyone wants to know, or that's what they say anyway, what is going on with all this spiritual, supernatural activity. And the internet is the vehicle that has come along that has made it possible for people who have this thirst, this insatiable hunger to look into the occult and look into spiritual, supernatural things, the internet is a perfect vehicle for it, because at your fingertips, you have the world at your fingertips. You have people that contact our website and listen to our former shows, the shows that we've done already, from how many different countries, Bill? 25, 30 countries?
Oh, easy.
Yeah. So this is something that is, as you said, is worldwide, and I've only done a short list of these countries. Now what I want to do is I want to list, in relation to the paranormal around the world, I also did a search of paranormal investigators around the world. Now you have this circle that's going on, this thing that's feeding itself. You have all the people who are becoming more and more interested in things, all things paranormal. And then right along with that, you have paranormal investigators who are the quote-unquote experts who are giving people information as to what they're dealing with. And then those people, in turn, they want to become paranormal investigators. And it just goes round and round and round. And it just continues to escalate. So let me go through this list. Paranormal investigators around the world. Italy, just under 2 million. France, just under 3 million. Germany, over 2 million. Spain, 1.5 million. Russia, over 1 million. Canada, 3.5 million. China, over 1 million. Australia, 876,000. The United States, over 1 million. Tri-state area, Pennsylvania, 2.7 million. Delaware, 365,000. New Jersey, 1.1 million. Iran, 441,000. India, 296,000. Pakistan, 41,000. A Google search. Italy, 540,000. France, 992,000. Germany, 594,000. Spain, 519,000. Russia, 568,000. Canada, over 1 million. China, over 1 million. Australia, 637,000. The United States, just under 5 million. India, 604,000. Iran, over 2 million. Pakistan, 168,000. The tri-state area. Pennsylvania, 84,000. Delaware, 101,000. New Jersey. Are you still there, Bill?
Yep. Keep going, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. My phone just lit up for some reason. New Jersey, last one, 45,000. So there you have a list of the general heading of paranormal, anything paranormal, and paranormal investigators to go along with all the things that are paranormal. And I invite listeners to do their own research into how widespread this is. Go to other different countries, tiny islands like Haiti or Cuba. Would be very interesting to know the results of that. I just wanted to get a quick sampling of what's going on around the world. And, you know, I don't know what more can be said about it. It's out. And it's something that we need to deal with as Christians, because people have questions about what these things really are, what is really going on, what happens after death. And Christians, God's word is the only source for truth. And I'm not going to apologize for that, because that's the truth. Christians need to have the truth ready when someone comes asking. I saw a show about ghosts last night, and can you tell me what a ghost is? I saw a show about aliens. Do you really believe that there's such things as aliens? Christians need to answer the culture today, because this is a worldwide ministry field, a worldwide ministry field that Christians need to be involved in. They don't have to go into ministry like you and I are, but they should be ready with some solid biblical answers to the most commonly asked questions about the paranormal. Now, you also have something that you wanted to touch on, Bill?
Yeah, and Yeah, just let me say, Joe, that's
sure.
That is a really good challenge for anyone who professes a relationship with Jesus Christ, because you know, God's word tells us that we should be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. And you know, when you have something such as this that is a cultural phenomenon, you know, we have to be able to answer the culture, because you know, you look back in the time of the writing of the Bible, Joe, and there were some things that the apostles faced, cultural things that that they needed to address, and they needed to be able to give answers for. And you know, it's no different today. You know, Christians need to, as you say, they need to be prepared to be able to give answers out for the truth.
That's right.
And you know,
before
just
you
thinking
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bill.
No, and just thinking about, you know, what you're talking here about paranormal investigators and the number of them worldwide, and you know, we don't know how many of these are just like weekend type warriors where it's a hobby for them, and you know, they go out with a digital recorder and some cameras and
right,
you know, and they want to go to their local you know, quote unquote haunted house and see what they can find. We don't know how many there are of them, but we do know how many there are of people who do this as a profession. You know,
mm-hmm.
this is something that they do day in and day out, and you know, whatever their motive is for doing it, you know, is not really for us to question. But for us to question is the fact that, you know, you have these paranormal investigators that are going into places and are dealing with supernatural things, and they really don't know or they don't understand what they're dealing with. And so
right.
then they are misleading people in information, in giving them information as far as what they are dealing with and
right.
What they are experiencing. And, you know, we have someone that we know, you know, we don't know them well, but we know them over the internet. And, you know, they're part of the thing that they talk about is, you know, what does lie beyond? And it's a quest for the truth. Well, what is the truth?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is that quest that you're on? And do you ever find it? Or does the quest or this, you know, looking for something, does it just go on and on and on? And you present more and more information, but yet you never arrive at anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the challenge that I have for paranormal investigators. When are you going to arrive at something where you can give the people concrete answers to what they're experiencing? Yeah, you give them answers. You know, you come with your psychic or, you know, your little bit of sage to burn and some holy water to sprinkle around. But is that really an answer for what the people are facing?
Hmm.
You know, this is the kind of thing that we wanted to bring out in this series to really challenge them. And, you know, if you guys are listening in, any paranormal investigators out there listening right now, here's the number, 877-455-6692. Call in. We want to talk to you. You know, we want to exchange ideas. This is not just not something that we're putting out there just to hear ourselves speak.
Hmm.
So if you're out there, call in, 455-6692, toll free. We'll be glad to talk with you.
Yeah, and if it sounds like we're coming down kind of hard on paranormal investigators, we know who our enemy is, and we're gonna touch on the scripture in Ephesians, which indicates to believers who their real enemy is. So we just need to expose what we have witnessed going on within the paranormal field. And we have to meet it because there's misunderstanding. And there are no solid answers given. And the answers that are given, quite frankly, are wrong. And we can't stand by and allow that to happen without challenging it. But just know that you are not our enemy. We know who the real enemy is, and we know how he works. The only reason we know how he works is because in God's word, his motivations and his schemes and his he's mentioned so frequently in Scripture, we get a portrait of how he works. And he's a powerful being. Let's not misunderstand that. He is far more greater. He has angelic intelligence, far greater intelligence. He's been in the presence of Almighty God. He's been in the presence of the one who created the heavens and the earth. And so our enemy is not to be taken lightly. Let me just back up a little bit also, Bill. As far as when I challenged believers who are listening to be ready, one of the things that propelled me into this ministry and eventually bringing it up to you and getting your understanding as to whether you wanted to be part of the ministry, the paranormal ministry or not, was in some of the shows that I had mentioned earlier. Before we got into this ministry, I remember seeing episodes where people would be terrorized by what they thought were ghosts. And they would indicate that they went to the church for help, and the church didn't know what to tell them. And I used to watch, and I said, well, what do you mean you don't know what to tell them? You know what they're dealing with. Why didn't you tell them? And since then, so frequently, you will have people that will indicate, I was at my wit's end. I was looking for answers. I went to churches. None of them had answers for me. I hear that over and over and over again. So that's why I say, you need to be ready. Because the Bible tells us to be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in us. We should be able to tell people what they are dealing with.
Amen.
So let me move on now a little bit here, Bill.
Sure.
And we'll end this little section on the paranormal craze that has swept the world. And it is cross-cultural. All cultures are besieged by the interest in the paranormal. Back on September 6th of 2011, Bill, I had mentioned earlier when you asked the icebreaker question to me that I would give some numbers as far as ghost hunting equipment. Here's how much it's changed in just, well, from September of last year to almost coming up on April of this year. September of last year, I did a Bing search of buying ghost equipment. I got 47,600,000 results. If I wanted to buy ghost equipment, there were 47,600,000 results. I did another Bing search on March 7th of this year. I got 162 million results. So in that span of, what is that, a half a year? A little over half a year?
Yeah.
We went from 47,600,000 results to 162,000 results. I also did a Google search on March 7th for ghost hunting equipment for sale. And I don't know why there's such a discrepancy in between Bing and Google, but the Google result was 115,000 results. Still, 115,000 results to buy ghost hunting equipment. So this is now an industry, Bill.
Yeah.
All the shows that utilize, the paranormal investigators that utilize this electronic equipment, it's it started an industry. It's created an industry. And people are making money. I mean, the merchandisers that sell the equipment, the engineers that create the equipment, the factories that produce them, it's incredible. You know, it's touched the merchandising world. So it's not just limited to people's fascination. It's making money for a lot of people.
Yeah, it really is. And I can remember, Joe, when we were looking at some of those ghost hunting equipment sites, and, you know, one of the biggest things out now is the iPhone. You know, and when you're able to get an app, you know, and people out there who have iPhones, you know, they know what I'm talking about with apps. You're able to get an app to have your own little, ghost search program on your phone. You know, you don't have to go out and purchase some major type of equipment. You can just download something for 50 cents and there you go. You're ready to go. So, you know, the enormity, that's a great word for it, Joe. The enormity of ghost hunting equipment is just incredible today.
And it's readily available. It's readily available to anyone who has that sort of a phone that would have those applications. And I would imagine that at some point it's going to be made even more convenient in some way as far as technology is concerned. Also, as you mentioned, when we were doing that search for ghost hunting equipment, do you remember, Bill, that there was even a targeted audience for teenagers?
Oh, sure.
Ghost hunting, like introduction to ghost hunting for teenagers. And as we've discussed, and we'll kind of close out with this show tonight, the severity of what people are engaging themselves in when they go on these ghost hunts. And to make that available, a book describing to teenagers, to kids, how they can go about ghost hunting is so depraved. You know, these people are ignorant as to what they're dealing with, but they're still responsible. They are responsible to know what the truth is. You can't play games with this stuff. This is as serious as it gets. Talk to anybody who's been the victim of demonic harassment and demonic infestation. This is something that causes people to commit suicide. It breaks up families. It gets people to hate each other. Bill, you and I have talked about the Christian church underestimates the scope of the influence of demons.
No doubt about it.
We need to understand that these evil angels are all around us, and they are affecting this physical world. The scriptures declare it. Now, the scriptures don't go into full detail, but you can gather from scripture. And you can see from the evidence of what goes on in this world, the depravity that people engage in, the horrific acts, if it is not directly caused by demonic possession, it's caused by demonic influence. They know how to get people to do their bidding. And people who do not have the protection of the Holy Spirit are susceptible to all the ruses and the deceptions and the schemes of these evil entities. And just because people don't acknowledge that that's the reason behind it doesn't mean it's not true.
Right. All right, we want to now talk about a few things that we want to say to the groups out there, to paranormal investigators, to victims who experience this kind of supernatural activity, and then finally to those who still just don't believe. even with all the things that we've talked about tonight, they just refuse to believe it. So Joe, first off, the paranormal investigators, what's the charge that we want to make to them tonight?
Well, I have some curiosity about the paranormal world collectively. Now, all I know is, as far as how they conduct themselves, is what I see within the television programs that depict paranormal activity and the paranormal investigators that come in to do their investigations. But one of the things that strikes me is that they all seem to be in agreement. And my question would be to any paranormal investigator, again, if you're out there and you want to call in with a question, a comment, pro or con, it doesn't matter to us. Is the toll-free call-in number is 877-455-6692. That's 877-455-6692. Or you can email us with answers to any of these questions. How is it that you guys are in such agreement with all of the things that you say? You never contradict each other. It is always what they will say inevitably is, well, it is said, it is believed to be, it is understood. So you guys don't seem to have any rifts or disagreements, or am I wrong about that? Or is there anything within the paranormal field where you guys disagree? Because from my perspective, I see you guys are like totally involved in agreement. You guys agree with each other on everything. You don't contradict each other. How's that possible? I've never witnessed it on a paranormal show where one paranormal investigator says, you know, some paranormal investigators believe this, but you know what? I don't believe that's true. I've never seen that.
No.
I mean, do you guys go through some sort of a college or something, or where you get all this stuff, information, or is it that you just pick up things along the way and you just don't doubt? Like, it gets back to what Bill was asking you guys. What's the basis for your information, for what you tell people, for what you say on camera when I watch Animal Planet and I'm watching The Haunted? What's the basis for your information? What's the foundation for what you're saying? I know what mine is. I know what Bill's is. You might not agree with it. Might not believe it, but I can show you in Scripture where it says everything that we're saying here. What's your source? Is there a paranormal Bible somewhere that you guys have all these things written down in? Because if there is, I'd like to get a copy of it and read it. Do you want to address white noise, Bill, or do you want me to go into a couple of questions to the couple more questions to the paranormal world?
Yeah, why don't you finish up what you want to say, and then I'll just mention something from the movie.
Okay, sure. Kind of hinging off of what I just said, I just have some questions. And we've asked these questions in the past. I don't know, Bill, whether it was the third or fourth show when we posed these questions, but I'll pose them again because they're serious charges, because they are serious misleadings to the people you say you're counseling or helping. And we've not received one email in an answer to these questions. Certainly didn't get a call on the air, but we were thinking that maybe someone will email, well, this is why we believe what we believe. Not one. Again, here's the question. Define what the light is. You won't see a show go by where you won't see some psychic or medium or channeler or clairvoyant or sensitive saying, move to the light. Go to the light. And then when the show's over, yeah, he's crossed over to the light. He's gone to the light. Well, why didn't they, when they died, why didn't they awaken in the light? Why did they have to find the light after death? And prior to, there's another frequent term, is crossing over. The psychics want to get the deceased to cross over to the light. Before they cross over to the light, where are they? When you're talking to them to go to the light, where are they? And what's preventing them from moving on to this light that you're talking about? And how do they move on to the light? Is it just because you guys are encouraging them to move on to the light? And are all of those who cross over to the light ending up in the same place? Where is this light that you're talking about? And how can it be verified, what you say? If you tell me where the light is, how can you verify where that light is? Or should we just accept your assumptions and the convictions of the paranormal world? Because, as I said earlier, we can tell you what the light is from the scripture. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He is the light. Now, in none of these shows, I didn't hear any in the psychics or say, move on to Jesus Christ. First of all, that would be impossible after death, scripturally speaking. But you guys need to tell me, where is this light? And why should people trust you to believe that?
Mm-hmm.
And what are these spirits doing once they cross over and move on to the light? What are they doing? These are questions that have to be answered, because I see it in every program.
Right.
You know, most people, what I don't understand, maybe I'm a little more critical. I watch these shows. Do other people watch it and say, oh, they crossed over. Oh, that's great. I'm very happy that that happened. Don't you think? What is crossing over? Where is the light? People have to think more critically, because this is a serious issue that we're dealing with. This is not picking the winner of a football game or a baseball game where it's a matter of opinion, and then you can, once the game's over, you can determine who was right and who was wrong. We have to deal with hard facts here, and we're coming at it from a biblical perspective. The Bible is, God said that he wrote the Bible, 1 Timothy. He says that all scripture is God-inspired, God-breathed. All scripture. Now, that's what I rely on. That's what Bill believes. That's what Christians believe who are truly born again. But I don't understand where you guys who call yourself paranormal investigators, where are you getting your information from? Is it just a hodgepodge of all different beliefs? Because that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches there's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah, and I think that what you're saying here, we witnessed in watching a production, and you know, again, this is a. You know, it's a fictional account of something, but I think that there are some things that came across in this that point directly to what Joe was just talking about. And a few weeks back, I was going through Kmart, and they were getting rid of a bunch of old DVDs and such, and, you know, getting some new stuff up on the shelf. So they had a clearance bin, and I'm going through, and I'm always looking for something that I can use in research, and happened to come upon a production that was in the last decade, somewhere around 2003, 2004, and it was a movie by the name of White Noise, and it starred
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton. Thanks, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Keaton played he was some kind of architect, and he loses his wife to an apparent accident. And in the movie, there was someone who comes along to contact him and tells him that this person has been getting messages from his wife beyond this world. And of course, Michael Keaton doesn't believe it. And, you know, there was at one point where he needed to find out more. So he goes to see this man, and this guy has all this kind of equipment set up to where he's able to get messages From Beyond by EVP. And Keaton finds out that he can contact what he believes are his dead wife and other people who are in this or in this place where they haven't, as Joe said, been able to cross over and go to the light. And what Keaton finds out in this film is that it's not really his dead wife or these benevolent spirits that want to help people, but they are actually demonic in nature and end up taking his life. And again, this is fictional, but you know, a lot of times you see where art imitates life, and certainly in not only in the fictional presentation of the movie, but in some of the extras where you had actual paranormal investigators using EVP devices to take recordings and then play them back and believe that these are actual disembodied spirits that are giving these messages when you know, they're not what they seem to be, as we talked about a little bit earlier. These are illusions. These are deceptive, malevolent spirits who are bent on destruction, because that's what the Bible calls them. Fallen angels. Jesus said that Satan is a liar and a murderer from the beginning, and those who followed along with him, those evil angels who joined up with him in his rebellion, they are the ones who do his bidding to cause some serious damage in people's lives. And so, you know, these kind of questions that we're asking of paranormal investigators, I think it's paramount to you know, to be able to answer these. What is the light?
You know,
where are they residing now before they're able to move on? They're good questions that need to be answered, and as Joe said, we haven't heard one answer yet. And you know, for paranormal investigators out there, please understand, we're not attacking you personally.
Right.
We're really not. We just want to know, you know, your line of thinking and where you get this idea, because you know, quite frankly, it's causing people some serious problems. Because none of these shows will show what happens after you burn your sage, or you bring in your clairvoyant or your sensitive to be able to tell you who the spirits are and what you need to do to help them to move on.
Right.
Serious issues that require serious thought and serious answers. And you know, it's something that we will continue to touch on as we go through shows in the future.
Yeah. And another interesting note from that movie, White Noise, at the end, the extras that you can avail yourself of, it was interesting to hear that EVPs, or electronic voice phenomena, were really started back, what did they say, Bill, back in the 40s?
No, I believe even earlier than that. Wait, I have it here. Thomas Edison, 1929.
Wow.
Had the idea.
Yeah, so it goes way back, and, you know, obviously the electronic instruments that were used, the recording instruments, have changed over time. You know, you had reel-to-reel quarter-inch tape, and then you had the inception of cassette tapes, where people would use cassette tapes, cassette recorders at seances, and then they moved on to, well, what we have now is the digital voice recorders, where it's, you want to talk about convenience, it's the size of what? A couple of size of a matchbox.
Yeah.
You can keep it in your purse or you can keep it in your pocket. And I know that people are doing this because they see these shows and it compels them to do the same thing. And it prompts them to do the same thing. And you can whip it out and you can hold your, what they call an EVP session, anywhere you want, anytime. So yeah, it's, there was some very interesting information that came out of that movie. And, you know, again, as you said, Bill, it is a fictional account, but however, it's a very accurate account of what can happen when you play these games, trying to contact the spirit world. And another thing that I would just like to quickly touch on, and this is really, I think, what is the bread and butter of paranormal investigating groups are the mediums and the psychics, you know, the channelers, whatever they call themselves, the people that make the connection to the spirit world. These are the people that I like to call the bread and butter of the paranormal investigation. They're the closers. They come in and they make the alleged connection with the cause of the paranormal activity. They put a face to it. They give it words. And because prior to all this, it was all anomalous. You know, it was unnatural, but it was still not understood. But now, when the psychic or the medium comes in and says, it's so-and-so, and here's the message for them to you, now the victims feel they can maintain some sense of closure. And we see it all the time at the end where people say that they feel better. They know that their loved one is in a good place, that there's no need to worry about them anymore. But what the psychics have to realize, and this is a charge to you guys out there directly who call yourself a psychic or a medium or a physical medium or clairvoyant or sensitive or a channeler. You are being used as a conduit of deception. If you are giving someone what you say is a message from beyond the grave, they are either who they say they are, and what is the evidence for that? Or they are not. And because their message is being received, the impersonation is successful. Demons know about people's lives. They know about people who have died, how they lived, what they wore, how they talked, their mannerisms. This is how a guy like John Edwards can go on the show that he called Crossing Over with John Edwards and give information. And there's other guys like him where... And there's a new show on called The Long Island Medium where this lady goes around and she says she's compelled to just go up to someone because she's getting a message.
Right.
She'll go up to these people and they say, oh, I don't believe that stuff. Then she starts saying, did you have an uncle who died in a train accident? And oh, my gosh, how did you? There's no way. I don't know this lady. How could you have known that? It's very simple. Demons know who people were when they lived. Demons exist in the spiritual realm. You don't know when they're watching you. So when they use these psychics to give these messages from alleged deceased human beings, they'll come with specific information to perpetuate the ruse. And you psychics are being used as a conduit for fallen angels. You need to know that. Whether you believe me or not, you are being used by the enemy, the devil. It's harsh language, but it's true. It has to be said. So when you give people a message from beyond the grave, I'm telling you, You're giving them a message from a demon, and all it is doing is contributing to the confusion of the person you're talking to. They're going to start thinking, oh, I don't have to worry about anything. When I die, I'm going to be in some sort of a spiritual realm. I don't have any accountability to God. I don't have to worry about what the Bible says about death, what it says about Jesus Christ. This medium is telling me that my uncle never said anything about Jesus Christ. He lived a life of sin. And he died, and he's getting in touch with me now. Everything's all right. This is how serious the game that you guys are playing. You need to stop and think about what you're doing. Because I'm charging you right now. You are perpetuating deception.
Yep, no question about it, Joe. All right, what about the victims? You know, what can we tell them?
Well, my question to the victims would be, why are you trusting paranormal investigators? How have they earned your trust? Is it just that you've seen them on television and they look like nice people? And I don't disagree that they are nice people. I think that most of them, if not all of them, have altruistic motives for what they're doing. A lot of it is curiosity. A lot of it is seeking on their part. But I think they genuinely think that they're helping people. But why are you trusting them? What have they done to earn that trust? I mean, if you have a leaking pipe and you ask a friend, you know a plumber? Oh, yeah, sure I know a plumber. He's worked in a lot of my friend's house. He does great work, reasonable, never any problem. So you get that plumber because you have a reference. And the plumber comes in and does the work he's supposed to do. When he leaves, the pipes aren't leaking anymore. Or is it that you're just looking for an exterminator? You want a paranormal investigator to come in and get rid of the problem. You just want the activity to end. But the problem is that's not your real problem. If you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you're being victimized by these demons because you don't have any protection. Even though we have protection, Bill and I laid out at the outset of the program all the things that we've been enduring. But they can harass us, but we know what they are, and we know that ultimately their demise is certain from the scriptures, and we have no fear of these things. Yes, we're human beings, and it's hard. We're pressed in on all sides at times. But you guys out there who have no protection, are you just looking for an exterminator? Because that's the spiritual activity that you're experiencing is not your real problem. Your real problem is that you are dead spiritually. You have not come to faith in Jesus Christ. So you're fodder for these demons. So again, I ask, why do you trust the paranormal investigators? When they leave, what have they said that brings you comfort? Or what have they done that brings you comfort? And you also have another group to address. The unbelievers, the people who say, you know what, all that stuff is a bunch of hocus pocus, that's all a bunch of smoke and mirrors, there's nothing really going, you guys can't tell me that stuff's real. When you die, you go in the grave and that's it. Well, how do you discount the eyewitness accounts, personal testimonies? Are you just treating this like you would a natural disaster? If it doesn't happen to you, then you really don't think about it. You have to understand that there's consequences for ignoring spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
By ignoring it and saying it's not happening, you're not protecting yourself. You're not covering yourself in any way. Because it has eternal consequences. What should be happening to you as this culture of paranormal hysteria keeps building and building and building? You need to get your head out of the sand and you need to start thinking about it. What is going on? You need to start asking yourself some questions. You need to start thinking about, well, heck, what happens when you die? You have to start thinking about it. You can't ignore all the activity that's going on. So you need to really start asking hard questions. For the people who want to just dismiss all of the overwhelming body of evidence, not just recently in the history of the world, but even more so recently with all of the technology and the information that is in our fingertips. You can't just say it doesn't exist. There's just too much evidence to ignore.
Yeah, and you know, as you say, Joe, this is not a topic that is to be taken lightly. You know, most people that I run into that that know what I'm doing is that you get kind of that chuckle or sneer,
right?
Because they think it's not something that's serious, but it is serious. And as we look into what the biblical admonishments and warnings that come across are, we find where the foundation of what we're saying comes from. This doesn't really become our opinion, then it becomes something or a basis of truth.
Yeah.
For what we are saying, we are basing it on something that is concrete.
Yes.
You know, we want to look into what some of these passages are now.
Mm-hmm.
And before we do that, I just want to give out the numbers again for anyone who's listening and would like to call in and give us a comment or a question. Numbers for you to call in, toll-free, 877-455-6692, or if you're in the 213 area code, 325-3434. It's toll-free, 877-455-6692. Call in, and we'd be happy to talk with you. All right, let's look at the first passage here, that Joe, tonight that we want to address. And you know, this goes right to what we've just been discussing. The charge to the paranormal investigators, the charge to victims, and even to those who don't believe. This mm-hmm. is what we're talking about here, to what God addresses in the book of Deuteronomy. And this is Deuteronomy chapter 18, and I'm going to read verses 9 through 13. And this is God talking to the Israelites. He's giving them the law before they're going into the land of Canaan. So this is what he says. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we see in this passage here that, God is addressing the occult practices that the nations that were in that land were part of. And
yeah.
He says here that these are all detestable in his sight. And for that reason, he's driving those nations out.
Yes.
And he's telling the Israelites, don't imitate the ways of those nations that live there. Don't be like them.
Yeah, it's the most comprehensive list that we have in scripture of what these occult practices are. divination, sorcery, necromancy, mediums, witchcraft, all those sorts of things. And that's not the only place in Scripture, Bill, that God addresses occultic practices and warns the nation of Israel, and in the New Testament, the infancy of the church about occultic practices. I'm just going to give a short list here of scriptural references to the occult, and this is not comprehensive. And at some point, what we're going to do, we've been talking about this for a while, we're going to put these passages and other ones up on our website and have a commentary on all of them. So, you know, like we've said, we are a Bible-based, Christ-centered paranormal ministry, and everything that we talk about goes back to the Word of God. You don't have to take our word for it. You can go to these passages and read for yourself and do your own research. Genesis 44:15, Exodus 22:18, Leviticus 19:31 and 26, Numbers 22:7, the Deuteronomy passage that you just read, Bill, 18:9 through 13, 1 Samuel 6:2, 15:23, 28:7 and 11, 2 Kings 9:22, 17:17, 21:6, 23:24. 1 Chronicles 10:13, Isaiah 2:6, 8:19, 19:3, 29:4, 47:9, Jeremiah 27:9, Ezekiel 13:23, 21:21, Daniel 2:27, 5:7, Micah 5:12, Zechariah 10:2, Malachi 3:5, Acts 8:11, 13:6, 16:16, Galatians 5:20, Revelation 18:23, and 21:8. Again, not an exhaustive list, but should give you the hearer an indication that God takes dabbling in the occult seriously. So at some point, we'll have all of these scriptures and more up on our website, and then we'll have also a commentary on them.
Right. And again, we want to take some time here and emphasize that, you know, it's not the spiritist or the medium or the necromancer, the one who contacts the dead. These aren't our enemies, and you're not our enemy. There is one who is the true enemy that we want to address. So, Joe, why don't you take some time and read that passage of scripture from Ephesians.
Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we see here that Paul is emphasizing to the Ephesian church that their struggle was not against flesh and blood. And boy, I'll tell you, that is one of the tried and true schemes of the devil, to get people to believe that their enemy is each other. And he's accomplished this within the church, where you have the church railing against liberals, railing against Democrats, railing against anybody that comes up against the Christian church. Well, the scriptures tell us that we need to understand that those people are messengers. They are not the ones who ultimately are behind this. It is, and these are different levels of demons here that Paul is addressing. Rulers, authorities, powers, spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. And the only way to defend against that type of power, again, we're talking about angelic might. These demons were once angels, I mean, God's angels, and they chose to align themselves with Satan, and they fell, and are now the spiritual forces of wickedness, and the powers, and the principalities, and the rulers of darkness that we fight against. So our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the unseen realm, and it's really necessary to understand that. If not, you're going to lash out at the wrong party. And again, we are not lashing out at the paranormal investigators, but we are asking what we think to be reasonable questions that you should have answered already in your own minds. And if you haven't already, perhaps as a result of the show, you will start to think about what you've heard on this program and maybe give us an email and let us know what you think. But again, our struggle is not against you guys out there. We understand our enemy is that old serpent, the devil.
Yeah, really is, Joe. And thanks for your commentary on what Paul is writing there in Ephesians 6. And so what we're really left with here is a question for everyone out there. And that question is, do you really want to know the truth? Do you really want to know what ghosts are? Do you really want to know why it's dangerous for you, to you who are paranormal investigators, to be dabbling in an area that you really don't understand, an area where you are addressing victims who are facing supernatural phenomena for one reason or another, whether they're bringing it on themselves or there's some kind of generational curse going on, whatever the reason is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're looking for help and you're not really helping them. Do you really want to know the truth?
Yeah, I think, Bill, that one of the things that I've witnessed as a result of being in this ministry is I've come to believe that people are okay with not knowing what the truth is. You know, as you brought up the example the other night, last night, of the carrot dangling on the stick and the animal chasing it around, never really catching it. I think people like the thrill of the chase. I think that they really don't want to know what the truth is. They're okay with being intrigued by it and having other people give theories. You remember the X-Files motto, the truth is out there. I think people will acknowledge that there is objective truth. I mean, truth that's not subject to opinion. But I think they're okay with, like the X-Files motto is, they're okay with it staying out there somewhere. But that's, you really have to question yourself. Do you want to know what the truth is? And again, as Bill asked earlier, if you really do, how are you going to know when you arrive at the truth? How will you recognize the truth if you come to it? What's it going to look like? And what's the source going to be for that truth? Because truth is what it is. It's not created. and it's not subject to opinion, and it can't be denied. The truth stands on its own. So you have to ask yourself that question. Two simple questions. Do you want to know what the truth is? And how are you going to know when you arrive at the truth? What we've done in this whole series is we've laid out what we think to be a solid argument for biblical truth with regards to the paranormal field and the paranormal hysteria and the deception of ghosts and spirits and what they really are. We've laid out a pretty strong argument that this is all demonic. It's all a demonic ruse to lead people away, to keep them from coming to the truth. So just be honest with yourself. Do you want to know what the truth is, and will you know it when you see it?
Yeah. You know what, if you guys you want to get in touch with us, go to our website, www.answersfortheparanormal.org, and you can go to our blog comment page, and you can click on leave your comment, and you can just tell us right there what you're thinking, or you can go to our guest book and sign in there. Or even a better way, you can go to our contact page, and when you click on the tab there, you're going to see two email addresses. Joe's email, joe@answersfortheparanormal.org, and you'll see my email, william@answersfortheparanormal.org, and send us a note. You know, for whatever you've heard from us tonight, and you want to challenge us with something, or you have something that you want to share with us that you need answers about. You know, you're experiencing some kind of paranormal activity in your home or wherever, and you want to know what to do. And certainly, Joe and I will take whatever is told to us under the strictest confidentiality, and we'll address you directly. And open up dialogue with you, because that's why we are in ministry, is to lead people to the truth, and ultimately to lead them to saving faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so we want to wrap up our show tonight with a warning, and where that begins is here, is that the paranormal is not going away. You know, Joe listed the 140 some entertainment shows that are directed at this subject. The 32 shows that you can view right now on your TV. The number of internet sites that we listed from countries around the world. Devoting time and information to this subject. The number of paranormal investigative teams that are out there, and all those in those countries that Joe listed. You know, this is a phenomenon that's growing and is on the increase and is not going away. And, you know, so there's a warning that we want to give you tonight. So Joe, why don't you take over on that?
Yeah, I think it comes down to a very simple argument, Bill. If Satan can get you to believe that there are such things as ghosts, and that being disembodied spirits of human beings, if he can get you to believe that upon death, you simply become some sort of an ethereal spirit until some psychic or medium gets you to cross over to the light. If he can get you to believe that, then the cross is meaningless. The reason that Jesus Christ came into the world is meaningless. If you believe that death is a transition that everyone will go through, and that there is no reality of heaven or hell, If he can get you to believe that, then he's nullified the cross. He's got you in his kingdom. And as Paul wrote to Colossians, you need to get transferred out of that dominion of darkness, which is Satan's kingdom. And you need to be transferred into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The only way to do that is to believe what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, to believe what Jesus Christ said about himself. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, him, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. The only way that you can be assured that when you die, you are going to go into that light, and I'm talking about the light that Jesus Christ is talking about, paradise, like he said to the thief on the cross, this day you will be with me in paradise. The only way that that's going to happen is if you truly believe that his work on the cross has paid the penalty for your sin, and sin is a reality that cannot be denied. Man's problem is that he is a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's mark is perfection, and all of us have fallen short of that. We've all sinned in some way, whether in thought or deed. And that sin bears with it and a penalty that is eternal. If you die in that sin, you will be separated from God forever. That's what the Bible says. But that doesn't have to happen, because Jesus Christ paid the penalty when he hung on that cross. And by placing your faith in his work that paid the penalty for your sins and my sins and Bill's sins and everyone's sins who's listening, John said he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Simple faith. Believe. Just believe. Receive the gift that God offers. He offers you his Son as a payment for sin. Either Jesus paid for your sins or you're going to pay for your sins. So this is how I want to end up this whole series, in saying that Satan is the one who has got your eyes blinded. If you believe, if you still believe after listening to all these shows that there are such things as disembodied spirits waiting to move on to the light somewhere, it's a lie, friends. It's a lie. And I encourage you to do your own research into the Word of God. We have not been misrepresenting it.
Amen. No, we haven't. And, you know, just to build upon what you said, Joe, you know, the issue here is really one of eternal consequences. And, you know, for people out there who are experiencing supernatural activity and, you know, they contact one of these paranormal investigative teams that they find on the internet, and you know, they come out and they clean your house, and you know, it seems like everything's fine and everything is back to the way it was, and you know, you no longer have to face you know, the crashing of something or doors opening or you know, whatever. Whatever it is that you're find yourself in, you know, and at the end of that, you're still left in a state where you're still, as Joe said, and as the Bible clearly states, you're still dead in your sins. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, the spirit may have gone away, but how do you know that they're not going to come back?
Mm.
How do you know that that everything is going to be okay? You don't really know. And from the shows that you watch, you don't really know. They never do follow up.
Right.
To these families who have faced you know, this sort of paranormal activity. They don't go into 5 years down the road or 10 years down the road. You know, the soft music comes on and the violins are playing and
right.
And everything seems rosy, but where are you spiritually? You know,
yeah, that's it. That's it.
What has changed in your life other than the poltergeist is gone?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else has changed. You know, if you haven't come to the place where you've seen your sin as what separates you from God, you haven't seen the way God sees you, then you're still in the same predicament.
Yeah.
And so as Joe shared with you from the Word of God, there is a way where your predicament can be changed for eternity.
Mm.
And that is to what the Bible calls repent of your sins. Repentance is a turning away. You're turning away from the way that you live in a sinful nature. You're turning away from that and turning toward the gift of eternal life that's available in Christ.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean that you're never going to sin again. It doesn't mean that you're never going to fall short again, because as long as we're going to be in these bodies that we possess, this flesh, we are going to sin. But what the Bible says is that when you place your faith in Christ, you are now given the righteousness of Christ. You are now seen by God as perfect.
Yes.
And your sins are separated from you. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought up again.
Yes.
And so that when you do sin, when you confess that, God's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you again. So
yes.
My question to you is this: what do you want to do with your eternal soul?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to take the chance that the Bible's wrong, that what we're telling you is not the truth? Do you really want to base your eternity on that? Or do you want to turn to Christ and to be saved and to know for sure that your eternal destiny is going to be in heaven? The Bible tells us that when we place our faith in Christ, He gives us the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Which is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, which is heaven.
Amen.
You know, we talked about going on to the light, moving on to the light, crossing over into the light. Joe and I want to tell you that there is a way that you can cross over to the light. And it doesn't happen after death.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen in some realm where spirits are just roaming about looking for a way to get to the light. Crossing
right.
over to the light happens in this life. It
Amen.
Happens while you still have breath today.
Yes, yes.
Crossing over, as Joe put it, is crossing from the kingdom of Satan
yes.
into the kingdom of God.
Yes, amen.
To the kingdom of the Son that He loves, who He gave for you and for
yes.
me.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world. So many people have that notion that, you know, they're condemned. No, God didn't send His Son to condemn this world. He sent Him to save this world.
Yes, amen.
To save you from everlasting punishment, because, frankly, that's what everyone born in this world deserves. We all deserve condemnation and punishment.
Mm-hmm.
The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Won't you accept the gift today? Accept the free gift of eternal life that God offers to you today.
Yes.
Just cry out to him, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Amen.
And when you do that, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yes.
That if you believe in your heart Jesus Christ is Lord and confess with your lips that he will come into your life, he will forgive you of your sins.
Yes.
And he will give you everlasting life through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So that's how we want to wrap up this series. That's what we want to leave all those who have listened to all these shows that we've done and listened to the show tonight. We want to leave you with, turn to Christ. Because that's where the real answer is for what you're experiencing. That's what the real answer is for the problems and the turmoil of this life. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So lean on him. Turn to him today in faith. Joe, why don't you talk about where we're going to go next, what we're planning on doing in the future, and then take a minute and pray about that, and then we'll wrap up our show for tonight.
We had originally intended to go from the Ghost series to a series on near-death experiences, but God has taken us in another direction, and it's another reason for all the spiritual opposition that we've been facing recently. I'm firmly convinced that the evil one wants to discourage us, and he wants us to just get the heck out of what we're doing. But we're going to stay in the Lord. We're going to stand firm. With each day, we know that God's grace is sufficient for us. So, where we're going to go next is we're going to talk about the church. We're going to do a series that addresses what we believe to be serious issues within what is called the church. And we will go into a lot of different areas, and we have no idea how long the series is going to be, but we believe that it's something that needs to be done and needs to be said. It's not going to be very popular. But what we're going to do is, as we've done with the Ghost series and the series on UFOs, we are going to come at it from a biblical perspective, a biblical point of view. We're going to use Scripture to make our arguments. We are going to spend time talking about the church. That's our next series. It's not going to be pretty. But it's something that really needs to be done, needs to be said, and we're not looking to be popular, really. What we want to stand for is truth, and sometimes the church needs a wake-up call, and we think that we're going to be part of that. What I want to do is I want to pray for that right now, and I want to pray for the series that we've just wrapped up and all who have listened. So let's go before the throne of grace and pray to our Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that you have given us, the information that was revealed, the scriptures that we looked at during this whole ghost story series. Father, our intention was to expose Satan for the liar and deceiver that he is, to expose him for this ruse that he's been perpetuating for so many years concerning ghosts, the false hope that he is giving people who are holding on to this, and to address the paranormal groups that are perpetuating that false hope, themselves being misled. Father, I want to lift them all up. as we've closed the show with, there is only one hope. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Father, we pray for all of them. We pray that they would come to Jesus Christ to arrive at the truth, because he is the truth. And that they would place their faith in him and be saved this day. The Bible said, now is the time of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. Father, I pray for those who are hearing now that they would not harden their hearts, but that they would receive the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. Father, we want to pray also for the upcoming series. We pray, Lord, that you would give us encouragement and direction. It's going to be a subject that is probably going to make some enemies. But our desire has always been to stand for truth, Lord. And as the New Testament writers addressed quite often, false teaching, and warned readers to beware of false teaching, that this sort of thing would increase in the last days, that people would heap unto themselves teachers, these people who have itching ears, that would give them fables and traditions and things that have nothing to do with the truth. Father, it is not our position to judge anyone, to condemn anyone. But what we want to do is we want to give our brothers and sisters something to think about. The areas that we see them in error, we want them to consider it. So, Father, I pray that you would not allow us to back down or cower away, because we're going to meet opposition. And it's going to come in a lot of different forms. Father, we owe it to you. Jesus Christ gave his life for us. He suffered for us. The Bible tells us when we suffer for the name of Christ to count it as joy. So, Father, we look forward to what you are going to reveal through this upcoming series regarding the church today. And we thank you for all the things that you've accomplished and are accomplishing. To your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Joe, and just wanted to say thanks for all that you've brought in this series. It's been a blessing to learn from you and to see where God has moved you to and put on your heart concerning people. So I just wanted to say thank you and praise God for you. And
likewise. Really likewise, certainly.
Oh, in a former show that that Joe and I did on this series, we did an interview with Gary Bates, who is president of Creation Ministries, and Gary has a ministry that addresses the evolution versus intelligent design creation according to the Bible, and in that show, we ended with a song called God of Wonders. And I just thought that at the end of the series, certainly he remains a God of wonders. And so I just wanted to wrap up with that song and give praise to him. And Joe and I look forward to talking with you again here on Answers for the Paranormal. So good night, Joe. And and God bless.
God bless. And thanks to everyone for listening.
Lord of Heaven. Celebrate the light.